Last night, WMNF aired the first half of our interview with David Nassau, the author of Andrew Carnegie, his award-winning biography and one of the most successful American businessmen of all time. Tonight, we air the second part of the interview. David Nassau's book won the 2007 New York Historical Society American Book Prize earlier this year and was named as a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize for biography. WMNF asked Nassau about Andrew Carnegie's relationship with the steelworkers and specifically the Homestead Strike of 1892, one of the most serious labor disputes in U.S. history.
Well, you know, when Carnegie owned little companies, iron companies with a couple of hundred employees, he was perfectly happy to have unions. But when his steel mills were built with thousands of employees, he didn't want to share any power with labor unions. And he set out to bust the labor unions. And he did so at Homestead. Homestead was a huge, huge steel mill that was unionized. And Carnegie made them, the labor union, an offer they knew it couldn't refuse when he pushed the company to strike. And when it struck, he brought in hired thugs, Pinkertons, to break the strike. It was a dirty, dirty, dirty episode in American history, one of the bloodiest strikes in this country. Carnegie successfully blamed it on his lieutenant, Henry Clay Frick, and got away with, you know, most of the blame went to Frick. But what Carnegie began to do and began to think was, since he had decided he was going to give away all his money, he wanted to make more. The more money he made, the greater his profits, the more money he'd have to give away to philanthropy. So he pushed his workers harder and harder and harder and harder, and he removed the protections of a labor union so that they had no resistance, no one to bargain on their behalf. He eventually got to the point where the workers in his mills worked 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, for barely subsistence wages.
Now, his intellectual hero was a man by the name of Herbert Spencer. Who was Spencer?
Right. Herbert Spencer was the founder of social Darwinism. Darwin didn't talk about human beings and human societies. He talked about the animal kingdom and evolution there. Carnegie talked about humans. Herbert Spencer talked about human societies. And it was Herbert Spencer who coined the term survival of the fittest. And Carnegie learned a lot from Spencer. Carnegie learned that the fittest survive in business, and then because they're the fittest, they have an obligation to use all the skill and all the wit and all the intelligence that won them this money. They had to give it away, and they had to give it away as wisely as they had earned it. And he developed his gospel of wealth really from reading and studying Herbert Spencer.
Now, Carnegie was labeled by the New York Times back in 1885 as a millionaire socialist. And certainly, this was, seems like such a paradox, if you will, in the obviously a man with great wealth, and yet he really espoused a quite progressive point of view. How was he viewed by society, or at least the business world, with that kind of attitude?
Yeah, Carnegie was always viewed by his contemporaries as an eccentric, funny little man. A crank was the word they would have used. He was way out in favor of he was way out in front of his contemporaries in so many ways. I mean, he said, and he said it time and time again, that the man who dies rich dies disgraced. He was in favor of huge inheritance taxes. He believed in some government regulation. He was against the Spanish-American War. He made his own decisions on what he thought was right, and that didn't sit so well with his fellow millionaires.